complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention by text this afternoon to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And the words of the lawyer in verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Dear friends, such a question as this was asked on several occasions. Those of the Jews believed that their hope of eternal life was how well they obeyed the law of Moses. We find it, don't we, in many, many different religions of the world. They have their gods. They have their laws. They have their procedures. And those who believe in those gods believe that through obedience they will earn that which comes to pass for them when they die. Dear friends, that is a false religion. For there is only one true religion that can give eternal life. And that is from the one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who is holy and just and has given his law, a righteous law, and that to be obeyed. But dear friends, how many are able to obey? This lawyer, of course, he knew the law. He knew what Moses declared in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 6, I think it is, verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. He knew what it was in Leviticus, round about chapter 19, I think, where it says, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And he puts the two together when Jesus said to his, in answer to his question, what is written in the law, how readest thou? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. This do, thou shalt live. Whether he believed that he was doing those things or not, we are not told. But dear friends, who can do those things and live? Many, as the Jews did, as Paul spoke of them, they went about with a zeal for God to establish their own righteousness, believing that they would inherit the favours of God when they die. But on another occasion, a young ruler came up to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? the same words as this lawyer. Jesus said, first, why callest thou me good? In one way, dear friends, that young ruler was right, and he didn't go and ask the priests and the lawyers. He came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's all on this doing, isn't it? And Jesus says, thou knowest the commandments. And he listed several of them. And the ruler said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Yet what lackest I? What lackest I yet? And Jesus said one thing. Go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowful. He couldn't do that. Of course, the love of the things, of what he would say, yes, as we all do, the needs of this life. His wealth, he had great possessions. Oh, he couldn't give all those up. He needed them to live, as he would love to live satisfactorily and pleasantly in this world. The love of those things were far greater than a love to God in commandment of Jesus. Well, dear friends, that young ruler is no different to us, is he? If we ask the question this afternoon, oh Lord, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus, the answer came, give up everything that you hold dearly to your own heart and come, follow me. We'd have to go away sorrowful, wouldn't we? We'd have to go away knowing that we could not do that. Or we cannot do that which is commanded of us to inherit, to obtain eternal life and to live eternally in heaven. If we are guilty of one point, it's the same with a holy God as if we are guilty with all. Dear friends, these are solemn truths, aren't they? And then the third occasion, when the Apostle Paul was at Philippi, and there was that great earthquake. Paul and Silas had been put in the deepest part of the prison because they had been accused before the magistrates, and the jailer was told to keep them safely. That earthquake came and the doors were opened, and the jailer awoke and he saw all the doors open. He assumed that the prisoners had fled, and oh, it was on the counter, it was his life to keep the prisoners safe. He felt, oh, he would now be under condemnation of the authorities, and so he said he would take his, felt he ought to take his own life. And the Apostle Paul cried out, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And he came and fell before them. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? It's a natural thing, isn't it, dear friends, to say, what must we do? But the Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Only believe. But, oh, dear friends, how can we believe? Not of ourselves, because we are full of unbelief, aren't we? Our hearts, of themselves, deceitful, desperately wicked. We cannot believe as we ought. We may believe in our heads concerning Jesus and the work that he has done. But to believe that we love the Lord our God with all our heart is beyond our ability. We're born in sin, aren't we? We're shapen in iniquity. What must I do to be saved? My dear friends, Peter preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto the jailer and to all of his house what the truth is concerning Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. And the blessing of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon that word of truth to them, wasn't it? They believed. Oh, they were baptized, we read. So soon after they believed. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit. There was no doubt, no questioning, no fear, nothing to intervene. There was the truth as it was in Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners, whom that jailer would perhaps have thought, yes, I am cheap. Oh, I've lived in iniquity and sin all my days. He would have been a rough one, naturally, to be a jailer and no thoughts of God. A wicked man, God not in all his thoughts. Oh, but through the influence of the Spirit, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel their need, welcome to a throne of grace. The Saviour's blood to plead. Friends, that was the effect upon that jailer. He may have become eventually, although we don't hear anything, upon that young ruler. He went away sorrowful, knowing that he could not inherit eternal life through his own doing. Oh, the Lord may have blessed him in the power of the Spirit, because that is what is needful, isn't it? For us to be taught the truth as it is in Jesus through the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. Only that, dear friends, can change our hearts. Only that can take away that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Only that can make us truly believe. Dear friends, the question is, what do we know of it? Do we know what it is to have a broken heart, confessing our sins before a holy God? Dear friends, that comes to us through the power of the Word of God. Oh, David, we read of King David. He was a Jew, wasn't he? Like the Pharisees, they were Jews. And David would have known what the law was. He knew all aspects of the law, and he kept to it in many respects. He acknowledged the law in the sacrifices and the sin offerings and keeping of the Sabbath days and so on and so forth. But David was brought, dear friends, by the influence of the Spirit to say, Lord God, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Be not silent to me. He needed the power of the voice of God speaking within his heart, for only that would turn him about from his vain hopes, if he had hope in the law alone, if he had hope in the doings of the law alone. It must hear that voice of the Lord, a voice of love and mercy. For we needed that which is found in the law, where God said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. And dear friends, that's the power of his voice, isn't it? His grace and His mercy revealed within of that seed of the woman who was to become to bruise Satan's head, to destroy the power of sin. The Lamb of God whom the Lord would provide for Himself to bear the sins of many, led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He knew the will of God as the Son of God, the will of the Father. I delight to do Thy will, that all those, He was given of the Father, should be saved from the Father's wrath to come for sin. Oh, David could not do anything, dear friends, to earn himself salvation. But, dear friends, under the influence of the Spirit, he could pray. He could pray. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Dear friends, have you ever prayed for believing views of Jesus? It's vital, isn't it? Or do give the Lord no rest. Pray without ceasing. Lord, show me the way of salvation. As David prayed again, Lord, concerning his heart and his mind, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Dear friends, that way everlasting is faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everything outside of that is a wicked way in the sight of God, because it does not honour God. It does not honour His Son. It does not recognize the way He hath provided in His Son, who gave Himself a sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the one thing needful. Without the knowledge of Him, dear friends, we shall perish. Oh, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, dear friends, what have you done? What have we done? We've done nothing of ourselves, have we? Except that which has been influential by the Spirit. Oh, Spirit of Truth, I repeated it this morning, didn't I? Spirit of Truth, is this your prayer? Oh, I hope it is. Spirit of Truth, come down, reveal the things of God. Make to me salvation known, and witness with the blood the sufferings of Christ. Oh, dear friends, that's what we want, isn't it? That redeem, the knowledge of His redeeming love. The payment of the price for sin on our behalf. And dear friend, Jesus will be precious. Unto you that believe, He is precious. Then, dear friends, what part, what purpose has the law in our lives? You say, well, it doesn't matter now. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. But dear friends, Jesus said He did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law, yes. That we should not now be subject to the condemnation of the law because of our sin. But that did not mean to say we should not take heed to the law, and to seek to do God's will. No, we're delivered from our faults, our failings. We're delivered from our sins and our shortcomings, as we trust by faith and plead forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And our faults and our failings, our sins, our shortcomings will be grievous to us. Because the law of God is this. It's the love of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. Dear friends, those who love God because of his love for them, dear friends, that's their nowhere, their endeavour. There is no condemnation under the law for those who love the Lord with all their heart. All their heart. Dear friends, to be with it with all our heart means he is the... Christ is the chiefest among 10,000. He's the altogether lovely one. Oh, our hearts by nature, they go out in love to our families and friends, don't they? And we love them. But dear friends, that love cannot redeem our souls from hellfire, can it? They cannot pay the price for our sins. No, it's a limited love for the good of us in our flesh. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And dear friends, where that love is made known by the Spirit, oh, we shall love him more than anything else. Because there is an everlasting love. It's with loving kindness he's drawn us. We are his and he is ours. And we have that hope and expectation of eternal life in heaven above. Oh, dear friends, what a day that will be. What a day that will be when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if we not have it the other week. Who shall stand? Those who love the Lord their God with all their heart, and with all their soul, and with all their mind, with all their strength. Love him because he hath first loved us. His work. Oh, what a gracious work it is. And therefore, dear friends, there'll be this effect of that love. There'll be the effect of that grace, which will rule our hearts. And I suppose, really, we come to the text that we had this morning. Perhaps I've taken the subjects the wrong way round, but in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, those who love the Lord because of his love for them, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you now do, constrained by his love, it's ever an effect in your hearts. God is in all your thoughts. And, oh, you submit all your ways unto the Lord, that you may do his will. That you may be walking in his ways and not turning about to the right hand or to the left. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You know, dear friends, looking at this word, there's a stage, isn't there, before loving the Lord our God with all our heart. There's that work of the Spirit which makes you seek for the Lord with all your heart. I've touched upon this seeking in prayer. It's the work of the Spirit. Oh, Isaiah, it is Isaiah that says, they that seek me with all their, the whole heart, they shall find me. It's the object of your first desire, Jesus, crucified for me. The way of eternal life. The way everlasting. And dear friends, when that seeking soul finds, the Lord comes, grants his blessing. Oh, you're lost in wonder, love and praise. Your heart is changed. Darkness becomes light. You see things in a completely different way. Sin is completely hateful, and you desire to walk in the ways of God, and you love the Lord your God because of his love for you. That you are, he is mindful of you saving me. Dear friends, that's not an imagination. You don't say when that comes, oh, I think so. Well, it might have been so. Well, it could have been. No. It's an assurance. That work of grace within your heart. Oh, Satan will try to deaden it, he will. But, dear friends, what is the object of your first desire? Is it Jesus, crucified for me? Then seek for him with all the heart. Pray earnestly. Give him no rest. That time of love will come when thou shalt truly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say, for me, for me. Well, dear friends, this is something we all need to know, isn't it? Without exception. And dear friends, when that change comes, there's going to be a change in our conduct in life. Things which we have done before, they may not be sinful, they may well have been sinful. If they've been sinful, contrary to the word of God, we shall say, we want them no more. We shall cast them out. But they might be those things which are not definitely sinful. But if they hinder us in the doing of his will, if they hinder us in walking in love to him because of his love to us, oh, we shall endeavour to lay them aside, that we can walk more freely and more openly in the way of his truth and the way of his commands. If ye love me, says Jesus, keep my commands. And dear friends, those commands, they're not grievous. Oh, how we should search, pray the Lord search our hearts, shouldn't we, like David did? That we should be led in the way everlasting by faith in Jesus Christ and walking in love to him. And as we said this morning, love to the brethren. As Paul wrote to the Colossae church, love to the brethren. Well, we had that here, didn't we, in measure. In Jesus answering this lawyer who no doubt was a bit embarrassed when he was told he'd answered his own question. Do this and thou shalt live. Thou shalt be perfect. You've obeyed completely the word of God. To love thy neighbour as thyself. He said, who is my neighbour? And Jesus gave him this parable of what we've known, well known as the Good Samaritan. About this man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. No doubt on his business, and fell among thieves. You know, I've heard someone say once he was going the wrong way from Jerusalem to Jericho. He should have been going up to Jerusalem. Dear friends, that's not the meaning of the parable. Dear friends, Jesus went down from Jerusalem to Jericho on at least one occasion. Was he going the wrong way? He was going about that which he was called to do. And in a natural sense, this man was probably going down to Jericho in the course of his business, what he was called to do, conducting himself in his daily life. And he fell among thieves. And they left him half dead. They stripped him. And he was in great trouble. Nothing he could do for himself except lie there in the heat of the day. And the first one to come down, by coincidence, was a priest. A priest who knew the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbour as thyself. And he looked upon this one. Oh, if he touched him legally, he would then become unclean. He would not be able to do that, perhaps, which he was going down to Jericho to do in the priestly office. He would have to wait at least 24 hours to cleanse himself if he touched that, which was of another person's blood and uncleanness. Oh, he couldn't do that. His own way, his own considerations of what he must do was far more important than the needs of another. And it was so with the Levite. Who came down, he didn't just pass by on the other side, he stopped and he looked upon him. Inquisitive. Should he or should he not? Perhaps he thought about it. But like the priest, he decided no, he would be unclean if he touched this one who had been stripped and left half dead and wounded, and no one else is about, no one else can see me, I'll leave him as he is, no one will know. Oh dear friends, that's our hearts, isn't it, by nature. He passed by then on the other side. But one came, he wasn't even a Jew, he was a Samaritan. And he had compassion on that man and did for him all that he could with the provision he had. Put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then when he had to leave, he gave money to the innkeeper to continually care for the man, and he would pay him when he came back again. Who was neighbour to him that was amongst the thieves? And the lawyer said, he that had mercy upon him, go and do thou likewise. Oh dear friends, what a command. Go and do thou likewise. I know many people look at this with a spiritual application of Christ and his mercy and the spirit of Christ, yes. But what about the application to us in our lives? It was given as an application on how we should conduct ourselves when confronted with an occasion like this. To love our neighbours as ourselves, or to do for them as much as we would do for our own good. I read that portion in 1 John 3, dear friends, how searching it is, isn't it? When John, speaking to those of the church, those who believed in Jesus, and those who had been called by grace, those who knew the love of God, or perhaps for some time, because he was a disciple and an apostle for quite a number of years after Jesus ascended. My little children, love not, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, what an exhortation that is. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see a difference? This walking out in the love of others and the need of others is an evidence of the love of God in us. James is very bold, isn't he, when he says, I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. It's not real, true, living faith. But where that faith is in God and in Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins, pardoning all our transgressions, that we may have hope of eternal life, we're to walk in love as he hath loved us. And if we do not, how dwelleth the love of God in us? That faith is not real. Oh, dear friends, these are searching things, aren't they? And yet, you know, Paul is not overzealous in his commands, is he? He says, I to the Corinthians, I think, it's the second that comes to my mind. I think it's in chapter 8. When he was asking the Corinthian church to have a collection to pay for the needs of those in the church of Judea. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not other men be eased, and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be that equality, a giving one to another in the time of need. Oh, dear friends, if we live to ourselves and the things of our earthly life are just selfish possessions, and they are not used for the good of one and another who hath need, especially of the brethren, as we had this morning, how dwelleth the love of God in us? Oh, the love of self is there, yes it is, as it was with the priest and it was with the Levite. But dear friends, we must walk and ever to walk in love. You know, you might say, oh well, the law was for the Jews. It wasn't specifically for the Gentiles. How do the Gentiles then, how do they fulfill the law? Because when Paul wrote to the Galatians, who held to the law as much as they did to Christ, he spoke against them. I think it's in Galatians chapter 5, where it says that through love, then the law is fulfilled. There is obedience to the law. My eye can't just drop upon it now at the moment. It's a pity that I can't. Oh, there we are. For brethren, ye have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And all the law is fulfilled in that. There's no condemnation, dear friends, to the law of love. No condemnation under the law, should I say, where all things are performed in love. God is love, and his love for you, there is now no condemnation through it. And your love to others in working out that love, there's no condemnation in it. Because that love to others is founded on the love of Christ to you. And there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, dear friends, we don't inherit eternal life through what we do. But we inherit eternal life, dear friends, through the evidence within us of what Christ has done. And that is to walk in love as he hath loved us. Just finish, isn't it, that word of Jesus in Matthew, when concerning the judgment day, before him were all gathered all nations, when he shall separate the one from the other, the sheep from the goats. He will say to the sheep, oh, how often we read Jesus calling his own people sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. How do they follow him? He said, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked, ye clothed me. I was sick, ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. Now that wasn't their righteousness, because they didn't plead that for their heaven at the judgment day. They only had one plea, and that was the righteousness of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. But the effect of that love to their soul, his righteousness imputed, constrained them, dear friends, to walk in a particular way as evidence as it was of it. And so they were lived in love one to another where there was a need to be provided. It was the evidence of their call by grace. But to the others, the goats, we said the opposite. I was hungry, ye gave me no meat. Thirsty, ye gave me no drink. Stranger, ye took me not in, and so on and so forth. They lived to themselves. Doesn't mean to say they were living immorally. It doesn't mean to say they were drunkards and adulterers or anything like that. They lived to the good of themselves and did not give in a time of need. There was no love of God evidently shed abroad in their hearts. Oh, what a distinction. Dear friends, these are left on record to search us out. Have we evidence of that love of the Lord through Christ Jesus, the Saviour of sinners, within our hearts? Loved with an everlasting love. Then, dear friends, oh, may that evidence of everlasting love be seen in how we conduct ourselves in this life. We don't make great scenes about it, do we? Oh, Jesus says, when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You don't do it for your own public glory and to be found of esteem from others, no. We do it secretly, we do it quietly. We do it in the name of the Lord, for the good one of another. And all the thanks is unto the Lord that he hath called us and constrained us to walk in love as he hath loved us. Well, may these things, dear friends, exercise our hearts and minds. I'm sure our prayer will be, Lord, help me. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Always have to pray constantly, shan't we? For the Lord to help us, guide us, constrain us to do what is right in his sight. Dear friends, that's an evidence of the Lord's love within you. That you desire to walk in love, but all that constraining of your own heart, your own mind, your own self, your own spirit. It wants to do what's right in your own eyes for your own self. Lord, help me. Let thy good spirit rule my heart. Govern all my words and ways, that thy grace may abound in every part, and teach my tongue to sing thy praise. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, dear friends, it's what Christ has done for us, and then to walk in the way of that constraining love. Oh, the Lord bless us each, help us each, constrain us each. Unite us each to walk in that love to Christ as he has loved us. Amen.